Pakistan 2023. It's Watt from Pedro Show. Show. Happy Wednesday. Started off with John Coltrane. This is an excerpt live, November 22, 1962. Yeah, a lot of tunes from this gig, right? Parts of this is Impressions, piece of that. And then M is We with Moon or Sun. And because of those Estonian software engineers with this Skype invention, I got all the way. Where are you from, Michael?
North Carolina.
Yeah, but what part?
In Hillsborough.
Hillsborough, North
Carolina.
Okay. Yep. People from Hillsborough, North Carolina. Michael Wood. Welcome aboard, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Well, I'm happy to talk with you and have you on the show and curious about your journey with music. So please bring your earliest recollection regarding music.
My family used to have this... I have a record player in the living room, and I don't know who it belonged to, but it was this record called Goofy Gold. It had Purple People Eater on it. It had Charlie Brown. It had Monster Mash. You remember any of those songs?
Oh, of course. I think they called that being in the chain store novelty.
Novelty, yep, absolutely. Yakety Yak was in there.
They're coming to take me away.
Yes, yes. Man, I loved that record. I must have been like 5 or 6, or I might have been younger than that, but I loved that record.
Now, this pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
My older brother, he was about 5 or 6 years older than me. He played bass in a punk rock band. And, when he wasn't around, I would fiddle around on it. And then I'd try to put it back right where I found it. So he didn't know.
He does now.
He knows now.
Well, let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, shit like that?
No, once I got into rock and roll, I was able to find some garage bands, but I never got properly trained. I never did any of the proper music stuff.
What about the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh man, I must have saved up because I bought 3 at one time. So I think I got the Beastie Boys, Cookie Puss.
Oh yeah.
They were still hardcore. Yeah, yeah. Well, that was like their crossover record. It had there was no rapping on it, but it was like a hip hop beat. I got Rockmaster Scott, The Roof Is on Fire.
Oh yeah.
And Black Uhuru. I can't remember what the name of their record was, but it was a great reggae record.
Yeah, reggae band. Good.
The Rockmaster Scott, I was a youngin'. I played that thing first thing in the morning, and I jammed it.
Yep.
And my mom heard, "The roof is on fire, let the motherfucker burn." She came rushing in there, and she was like, "You turn that off right now."
Okay. What was the first gig you saw?
Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers opening up for NXS.
Whoa. I saw Bob Marley.
You saw Bob Marley where?
1979, Poly Pavilion, the basketball arena at UCLA.
How was it? I bet it was amazing.
It blew my mind. Family Man, very badass on the bass there. And then Mr. Marley himself, his hairs was like snakes. He was dancing and singing. And the lights were red, yellow, and green, you know.
Gold.
Even in a basketball arena, it was still fucking kicking up much dust. I dug it.
So I was super young. I must have been 11 or 12. I somehow found out where Ziggy Marley was staying. And we all went, and he was out on the balcony. People would throw up their T-shirts. He'd sign them and send it back down. And then this guy comes down, and he goes, "Hey, the young ones. Ziggy wants to speak to the young ones." And so we ended up going up to their hotel room and hanging out with Ziggy Marley. I witnessed pot smoking for the first time.
Mota. Okay. That's happening. Now, you said earlier, you said you got into this the bedroom band, basement band, garage band thing, right after school. I'm not talking about graduating, but like in the afternoon. So what was that experience like?
I followed in the footsteps of my brother since I was fiddling on his bass. I stuck with bass for a while.
Oh yeah.
And,
can I ask you what kind of bass?
Yeah. What's that?
Well, I'm a little prejudiced towards bass. So I'm curious about what type of machine was it?
Oh yeah, it was a Fender, like one of those little, you know, it was a practice bass, like the one of the kids scaled down.
Music Man, the Music Master, or a Mustang, or Bronco.
Uh huh. Yeah, and then eventually I got into like the Mach of Jazz Masters. I think that was my first real purchase was like the Japanese version of the Jazz Master.
Oh yeah. Or
jazz
bass.
Jazz bass. Yeah.
Were these your bands or did you join some other cats' bands?
I think it was mostly my bands. Like we just had friends. Like we would just, you know, they were often not full bands. They were just kind of like everybody, like someone grabbing, you know, like whatever was around. But eventually I got a drum kit in the garage and then we would, you know, we always had a rotating cast.
Right. What about the material? Were you, like me and D Boone, when we were kids, we'd try to copy songs off records, but were you writing or were you trying to copy songs?
Yeah. I didn't know enough to do covers. Okay. I would just play melodies and see what sounded good, you know?
Yeah. Can you remember the first song you wrote?
No, I can't.
That's all right. I'll tell you mine, because I didn't write many.
I remember the first song I covered.
Okay.
And you were in the band eventually. The first song I ever covered was Ha Ha Ha, Flipper.
Wow, Flipper.
Yep.
I got to help those guys on a Europe tour. Love those cats. Minutemen opened for them like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But, a lot of their songs had big, heavy bass part, believe it or not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
definitely.
It was two guys, right? They switch off Will Shatter, Bruce Lewis.
Well, they got the I'm sure that they had the fuzz pedal going, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's always either that or really crappy amp.
Or they're just blowing it up.
Yeah.
No, this was just practice jam. Or did you ever do gigs?
We played, we would play in the living room at like little house parties every now and then.
Yeah.
And then I think my first gig was a high school talent show. I had a band called Disagree, and we, it kind of made sense because we were all coming from different areas. Like one guy wanted it to be a heavy metal band. I wanted it to be a punk band. And, you know, I mean, but it was real 90s sounding. It was the early 1990s, I think.
And did you win the contest?
No, I think we got third place.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still a success. Was it scary?
I was really nervous. Because, I mean, it was a packed house.
Okay.
I mean, you were playing to your whole school.
Yeah, everyone knows you.
Yeah, it was a little scary. I eventually got real used to that, but it was fun. It was a lot of once it gets going, you just fall right in and you love it.
Now I'm looking at the set, the playlist here, and it doesn't show any Disagree. So
no, you guys, I don't think we ever got to record.
That's what I was going to say.
Shortly after that, I was in a band called Hall Monitors. And we did some recording, and I tried to find the recording to send to you, and I could not. So I think, like, probably there's a band called Planet Cock there.
Yes.
That one probably dates the farthest back, and okay. That's me on bass.
See, now I didn't know the chronology, so that's going to be starting off the second hour. But
all right, okay. Cool. No worries. Okay. Oh, it doesn't need to be in chronological order, I don't think.
Well, what happened after Disagree? How long does that band last?
Probably about a year and a half or so. I think when we all graduated high school, we all went our separate ways, and then that's probably right when I started that band, the Hall Monitors.
Okay.
And the Hall Monitors played for about 5 or 6 years, and then we did a reunion show just a couple years ago.
But there's no Hall Monitors here. But what you did give me was some Cadet. Let's listen to Cadet.
Yeah. Oh! We'll be right back.
has a face that looks like everybody you've ever known and seen on the street in your time. Sweet face, hard to describe. Sad eyes, cruel lips, expectant gleam, swaying to the beat, tall, majestical, waiting in front of the drugstore. A face like Hunky's in New York. Everything belongs to me because I am poor. Everything belongs to me. Everything belongs to me because I am poor. In New York. We'll be right back.
Thank you. I love you too. Driving in the car at night, my husband drives. I'm on the passenger side, we are quite tired. The other cars are only lights, twin lights in the dark. I know this drive, there are no surprises.
Peace and have a soul. I heard.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with Cadet doing Kevin. Then we had Style King of the Week. Talk about band names. Gasoline Ashes.
Oh, yeah.
100 Flowers. Here's a band name story. 100 Flowers. They were originally called Urinals. So they changed their name to that to get more gigs. Didn't work. So they went back to Urinals.
Nice.
Yeah. They just re-released this thing. They did Radio Tokyo where we did Double Nickels on the Dime. Called Contributions, this tune, out of Vancouver, Canada, British Columbia. Veda Hill Sisterhood with Coyote, out of Anchorage, Alaska. Where's the other one? What? Fuck. Muskeg Mudsuck, the tune Settler. Triola, Second Runner. MSSV, yeah, tour's coming. Less than 30 days. Second Runner, off the upcoming record. No. Second runner was Triola. Junk Haiku is MSS. God, what? My cup pop would say, you know, you'd fuck up a two-car cracker funeral, what? Boy, he was what, too. So, Wolf Eyes and Universal Eyes in a collab doing Tense Laps. Yaller? Oh, we had Kim Ware on the show. This is a band she just started up called Thrift Store Nativity, Jesus. She's playing drums again. And then finally, this is something of yours, Michael. Heavy and High, and a tune called I Put a Bird on It.
Yeah.
Enlighten us to Cadet that had a member of Hallmonders.
Yeah, so Hallmonders was me and two other dudes, and Cadet was basically the same band minus the drummer. So it was just a duo. Me and my buddy Curtis, who played guitar, and then I played bass on that, and then I sang on that one too. But yeah, and then you just played a Heavy and High. That's you remember that band King Missile?
Sure.
He played drums in a couple of their records. That's a collab of me and him.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought they were New York City cats.
They were. And then Dave moved down to North Carolina.
Okay.
And I work with them at a local co-op.
You know, I remember a duet from North Carolina that I really dug. Flat Duo Jets.
Oh, man, they're so good.
A cat named Crow yeah, on the
drummer.
Drugs.
The drummer just recently died.
Oh, Crow, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and then Dexter, his sister, yeah. His sister was a drummer for Mitch Easter Band.
Oh, I thought she was the drummer of Flat Duo Jets.
No.
His sister was. Okay, because it was his sister that just recently.
I think
died.
It was called Let's Active.
Yeah, Let's Active. That's right. I got some info mixed
it's
up.
It's easy to yeah. do. What does
those
it
those
all
are
the
good
time,
bands,
Michael.
Though. Great
yeah,
bands.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think Mitch Easter worked with the R.E.M. guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What about M is We?
That was I'm not currently doing that, but that was a recent band that I was in for the past like 10 years or so. And we right as COVID hit, we kind of fell apart and we're just on a hiatus, I think.
That's okay. I'm out of the timeline anyway. So let's take it from, the Cadet, right? Cadet came after Hall Monitors. So, what do you do? How long does Cadet last?
It was a recording project, we're still doing it here and there. The Hall Monitors lasted a few years, and then we all moved to different locations. And whenever that happened, me and Curtis did Cadet, the whole file sharing type of thing.
I've been doing it for like.
Which,
I actually started doing that shit with cassettes. That's how I made the first Dose record, with four-track cassettes, mailing them to Kay in Connecticut.
Right.
But it's the same principle, just using U.S. mail. Yeah.
And that's how we got the connect through you doing
Absolutely.
That with Spirit of Hamlet.
Absolutely. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to know all about your label and stuff and how you got to that. Because that's not, in the timeline, that hasn't come, right? You're just making music. You don't have a label yet, right?
That's right.
Okay.
M is We is on the label. So I do have that. And I think Cadet is actually available on there too.
Yeah.
I think most of those songs are available on Broken Sound Tapes.
Yeah. But in the story of your journey through music, we're not
we're not there yet.
where are we?
Oh man. I guess Cadet happened a few years ago, so maybe I did start the label. The label, so after the Hall Monitors, then there's Planet Cock, and I was playing bass with that, and then I started a band called Something About Vampires and Sluts.
Yeah,
that band lasted a while.
Okay, then we'll be playing that next hour.
Cool, good. That was live at CBGB's, I think, that tune that you're going to do.
Ah, so you were on tour. So when did you When did you start touring?
2003 or 2004.
And it was it something about vampires and sluts?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, who was in that band?
Brian McKenzie was in that, and he recorded a lot of the stuff that, like, he's worked with some of your folks, like Brian John Mitchell that you know.
Oh yeah.
He's played a lot with Scotty Irving.
Right.
He's got a studio down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was mainly me and him and a couple other folks, and we toured a lot, and then after that I moved to North Carolina and started M is We.
Okay.
And then that's when the label started.
Okay, which is Broken Tapes.
Broken Sound Tapes, yeah.
Broken Sound Tapes.
Eventually it ended up being like Broken Sound Records because we started putting out records.
You mean the first releases were cassettes?
Yep, they were all tapes, yep.
You know, cassettes have made a comeback, Michael.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of cats are putting stuff out with cassettes. And, you know, in those days, that's what you played in the vehicle.
Yep,
people don't remember. And, I remember, like, going deaf. I mean, because no air conditioning, so you had to have the windows down, so you'd have to be blasting shit. I got buttloads of cassettes here I haven't played, like, in 30 years.
Well... If you ever are in itching for money. Those cassettes, those old 80s punk rock cassettes and stuff, they go for a lot of money these days.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. eBay's like, I and Discogs. Why. Oh, man.
Michael, cassettes,
yeah.
They don't last. The ferrite,
I know.
The ferrite I comes know. Off the thing. Yeah.
I know it. As long as I've been trying to produce these cassettes, I've had to struggle with the sound quality too. Not only do they not last, but sometimes it's hard to get a good sound out of them.
And they kind of did that on purpose because they didn't want home taping. The big
ones. Right. Yeah.
Right.
I remember that Dead Kennedys tape. It says, home taping is killing the record industry.
Right.
We let this side blank so you could help.
Yeah, right. And then you know what they were pushing, like, for the coaches was 8 tracks.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Which were, they sounded even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they would click off in the middle of, you know, because they divide the program by 4. And so it would just click off in the middle of a fucking tune.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we're up to something about vampires and sluts.
Yeah.
And the band actually started in North Carolina, though.
That band actually started in South Carolina.
Oh, okay, where then, Brian is. Okay.
Yeah, where Brian is. And then we lasted about 10 years or so.
Okay.
And we started in 2000.
Okay.
And then we lasted at least till like 2010, 2011, something like that.
Yeah, I got to put the scissor on you because we reached the end of the first hour, August 9th.
All right.
This is Wap Peters, a special guest, Michael Wood. Hold tight for hour 2. August 9th, 2023. It's the second hour of Wap from Peters Show.
Look at the stars. That's some people. They say the stars are billions of billions and tons of hot gas. But I think maybe it's just God's salt. And God's just waiting to eat us.
I got a soul, but my heart ain't gold. You would've known, but you didn't wanna be told that I could be your boyfriend.
Yes, the world has got you down. It's quiet in your busy town. You cry yourself to sleep, knowing you've become the sheep. And no one really cares what you think. They're just waiting for their turn to speak. The lovers you left are back to sample a kiss they've had, just lonely enough to lie. You'll give them another try, and no one really cares what you think. They're just waiting for their turn to speak. No one really cares what you think. They're just waiting for their turn to speak.
Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with Planet Cock doing Space Song. Then Crenshaw Pentecostal. I think they're Charlotte Cats. Last to Know. Mm. Yeah, I know a bassman who just joined him, Jeremy, from Million Dollar Movie.
Mm.
Jeremy, yeah, Millions, yeah.
Very cool. I don't think I know them.
Yeah, I got to share the stage with him at Snug Harbor last year. A Moon X after that, Forever the Moon, out of Tokyo, RO4/K-HAL/ Explain. This is a collab, people. Tohoku Shin, then Tim Hill, Fool for Love, and finally, something about Vampires and Sluts with Next to You. Kind of like the carpenter close to you, right? Kind of not. So Planet Cock, who came up with the name for that band? It's great. One time me and my missing man played with a band, Calvin Weston, great drummer man from Philly, got asked to be part of it, and they called it Monster Cock Rally, but I guess they didn't tell him. So he gets on the stage, he goes, "What kind of fucking name is this? Monster Cock Rally."
He didn't find out until he was on stage.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Shit the nut. Yeah, these two Cleveland cats. They had him. But he's good. We first played with him, as Minuteman, when he was with Amin Ali and James Blood Armor. That was an incredible three gigs we got to do. So who, how'd that band get together? Who came up with that name?
I think my sister-in-law at the time, she was just like, "This is what y'all need to call your band." Just because she heard us jamming, and she was like, "Y'all are silly, and this is what it sounds like to me." I don't know. I think she thought we kind of sound like the B-52s, and she was thinking of that song, Planet Claire. Is that the name of the song?
Yeah,
by B-52s? I don't know. And then she made up a logo with a rooster on top of the planet Earth.
Well, thinking of South Carolina, you know, the USC, well, we got one too, right? The Gamecocks.
Oh, yeah, the Cocks. Yeah, the Gamecocks, yep.
So everything's connected somehow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then, how long that band go?
Probably about 2 or 3 years.
Okay. And it wasn't really a touring unit.
It toured a little bit, and it kind of turned into something about Vampires and
Sluts.
Oh, okay. A lot of the same members. We just kind of changed the focus of it. I switched over. I was playing bass for that, so then we got my buddy Colin on bass, and then I just started singing.
Frontman.
And I started out on bass, but I just had such a desire to jump around and be stupid on stage that I just ended up being a front man for a lot of these bands.
Was it a big diff as far as like gigs?
What's that?
A big diff, difference.
Oh, I stopped hauling a bunch of shit. I was like, y'all haul the amps now. No, I still try to help out every now and then.
Right, the schlep.
Not much of a big difference.
But you know what? I got to tell you, these days, they got smaller shit for bass now, thank God.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, especially for less younger people.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, yeah, they might have better backs than us. Like when
they
get older, then.
You wouldn't believe it, Michael. I'm rocking a 212. The speaker box is 40 pounds. The amp is 6.5 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, not at all, especially what I used to fucking have to schlep.
Yeah. How many pounds was the old one?
I used to go with two 4x10. Each 4x10 was 110 pounds. The amp was 70 pounds with the case and all that. So you're talking like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And now my whole shit is less than 50. And I'm just as loud. I'm 1,200 watts, you know,
yeah.
RMS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so things, not everything goes, not everything's lame about the new days. Like they always say the new days is lame, but that's not true. Not when it comes to bass gear. So, and, you know, like I found out that cats that make the switch over from, you know, working a machine and then being a front man.
Yeah.
They feel awkward. They got nothing to do with their hands, but you didn't have that problem.
No, I we were pretty high energy, so I was jumping all over the place. I made sure that I was busy, because I also like I was trying to run the stage lights and stuff at the same time, and I always tried to keep busy.
Okay,
running through the audience and just being stupid.
Oh man, what, like long mic cord? The Sluts were like
that. Oh yeah,
I remember the Sluts out of New Orleans and. the cat had like an 80-foot bike cable.
Yeah, I got me one. I think it's about 80 foot.
Look, you gave me this stuff called from a project called Scrape.
Thank you. Switch. I don't think it would work. Turn it off. long ago, and off again, I don't think, I'm not sure we're going to see the result. For a switch, turn it off, and on again, I don't think, and off again, I don't think so. We were looking, it didn't work. Switch. Turn it off. I don't think it would work. And on again. I don't think. And off again. I'm not sure again. Switch. Turn it off. And on again. I don't think. And off again.
Seven.
What was the number?
Pedro Show. That Chuck Music. Start off brand new proj, people, even though it's in the middle of the fucking show. Should be at the end of the show, right?
Sorry.
No, but it's okay. It's great with Bury It. And then after that, Fence Post with Preparation. This is Roman numeral 70, Henry III. Noisuka after that with Every Day in parentheses, Wall. From Brighton, England, Day Glow Exploding Super Infinite with Were, W-E-R. I don't know what that means. Gothic Hangover after that with Lost. Enlighten us first to Gothic Hangover because it probably came before Scrape since Scrape came out yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. Gothic Hangover, that's a recording project. It's me and Brian McKenzie from South Carolina and then just a rotating cast. Which song did you just play?
By Gothic Hangover, it was called Lost.
Yeah.
Lost.
Lost? Oh, yeah, okay. So that's me on vocals, but that we have multiple vocalists for that project. So that was me on guitar and bass and vocals, and then Brian just pretty much produced it and added some guitar and stuff. But that's a project that's still kind of going, just at our leisure, you know, and it's just whenever we've got time. And I'll lay down an idea, send it to Brian, or Brian will lay down an idea, send it to me, and then we'll get a couple people involved in it, and maybe have someone add some vocals or guitar or keys or whatever.
Okay, what's the scoop on Scrape?
Scrape's my new band. It's a little bit out of my wheelhouse because I've never done
anything.
That's
okay, though,
heavy.
Right? It's good to do shit like that sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. Yeah, I'm singing for that one, too. A couple of friends of mine just up here in Hillsboro just playing some loud rock noisy tunes. We're loving it.
Now, has this band gigged or just recorded?
Our second gig is coming up this Friday.
What was the first one like?
Oh man, we played this little spot that wasn't a bar or anything. It was just like this spot where they have meetings for like nonprofit organizations, and they never had a show there.
Community
we get in
center.
There. What's that?
A community center.
Yeah, it was a community center. Yeah, yeah. Just like, kind of like the old VFW halls we used to do back in the day.
Sure.
But yeah, it was like a community center. And I get in there, and it was like a big old empty space, and it looked like there's lots of room. And they're like, oh, no, you're not playing in here. You're playing back in the closet. We get in there. First thing I did was grab a mop. It was dirty. So we cleaned the place up a little bit, and shoved about 50 or 60 people back in that little room, and it was fun. It was like old punk rock times.
And how'd the project come together, Michael?
Just some meeting some friends around town, and having a couple drinks with some friends, and just saying, hey, let's get together and jam and see what happens. And next thing you know, we're gigging.
So there's nothing remote about these. This is a Hillsboro band.
Hillsboro band,
okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Or a triangle band, where the triangle, you got the Hillsboro, sure. Durham, Chapel Hill,
Raleigh,
yeah, uh-huh. So mostly in Hillsboro, but we got a couple folks in Durham.
Okay, and you said another gig's coming up?
Yeah, Friday night.
Day after tomorrow. And where's this one, St. Pat?
No, we're going to do it right downtown Chapel Hill, this place called The Cave.
Cave, okay.
Yeah, you ever played there?
No, Frank Heath, you know, The Cradle.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, The Cradle, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Although
you played
I did.
The Cradle with R.E.M., right?
No, I didn't. But I played all three of them. There was of them. Maybe there was four of them, but I've played every Cradle that Frank's had.
Well,
but
now they've got two right next to each other. They've got, like, the what they call the back room.
Yeah,
like
I played that pad, too.
Shows.
Yeah, I played
you played there. Yeah, okay,
I played
cool.
Also, Frank has always been open for me. Although, last year, I played that mm-hmm. Union place that Ed from Ohio worked at for a while. It's called Union something. It's got a number. And I think it's right. It might be Carborough.
I'm not familiar with that place.
Okay,
yeah.
well, you know, Chapel Hill, it splits right past
yeah.
the school.
Oh yeah, it splits right at Cat's Cradle.
Yeah, so I think, I can't remember what side of that line it's on, but I love Frankie. He just couldn't get in, so we went to that. But
oh, cool.
Next time, Frankie.
Oh, it was in the local 506.
That's it. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. That place is awesome. Yeah.
I'm an idiot. I'm a forgetful person. Look, we're at the end of hour two edition, August 9th, 2023 edition. Special guest, Michael Wood. Hold tight for hour three. August 9th, 2023, third hour of the Walk for Pedro show.
Yeah. want to hear.
So start off the third hour. Yeah. More Gothic Hangover. This one's, that's my name. Then Tom Hall with Infinite Now. Wouldn't we love an Infinite Now? That's too much weight for this brain to take. Midwestern Medicine with The Following Line. And finally, The Post-Punk Sellouts with Harlequin Novel. Harlequin Novel, like those, when you're in the grocery store right by the cash register, those Jacqueline Suzanne, and she, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it like basically softcore porn?
They were. Like for how, like kind of goes with the soap operas during the daytime, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right. I remember when I first went to Jay Mask's pad, his ma had buttloads of those, and the smell of the paper. Well, Raymond, his pop made his bedroom, and of course it leaked. So it kind of had that same smell. So I saw Raymond for like 3 seconds, you know, 2,500 miles away. Smelling trippy, yeah. So Tell me about post. You know, I've always hated that word post-punk. I mean, what the fuck's that mean?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you made a funny band name out of it. Now, I know about Gothic Hangover. This is the B-side. But what is post-punk sellouts, Michael?
Well, you had Brian John Mitchell on your show a few weeks ago, and that's him on vocals as well as me, and that's Brian McKenzie again, couple folks just another one of those projects sending around files, I think we were kind of making fun of the fact that we were all known for doing weirdo music, and then we wanted to write some pop songs. And so it's like, yeah, we're post-punk sellouts.
There was a, what was it, TV personality? There was an England band called TV Personalities was their name.
They were awesome.
Yeah, they had a tune called the Part-Time Punks.
Part-time punks.
Yeah, they pogo in the mirror, but only when their ma's ain't home or something. I think it's good and healthy to make fun of yourself and shit. Why not? Fuck.
Oh, absolutely.
Self-deprecating. We were talking about that, topics of the songs and stuff. So is Trey. I think he's living in SoCal these days.
Who's that?
Brian.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
But you sent this through the internet, trading files and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And okay, let's talk about the label.
Yeah.
The latest release, of course, is Scrape. But how's it go? You go about seeing who you want and what you want.
First I was jamming with them and we needed to release some stuff. And I wanted to make tapes because they're cheap to make, and I was going looking into getting them run off, and then it turned out it would be cheaper if I just dubbed them myself, and then it turned out to be so easy and inexpensive that I just started reaching out to friends' bands. I was like, hey, you don't have anything out yet, you want me to make you a tape? And then it just went from there. And just start putting out my friends' bands. And
well, Thurston actually had two cassette machines. He made his own he dubbed his own tapes for that song.
Yeah.
You know what? It wasn't Brian. It's Eric. Eric lives in
Eric. South Carolina. Okay, yeah, I think Brian's still in North Carolina.
Yeah. What? That was a senior moment. Sorry. I'm going to be 66 in December. That's no excuse, so I should have respect for these guys, but the same kind of thing. You start off kind of almost as a tape duplication service.
Yes, and I do that too. Like if a band comes and I'm like, it's not really my thing, I don't want to put it on my label, I'll do the duplication, for them.
Okay, you gave me another Scrape song. Where'd you record this stuff?
Right up the street in Durham. Somewhere right around here at the Triangle, this guy named Scotty Sandwich. He's got a place called the Sandwich Shop.
Yeah.
And we're liking how it came out.
Okay, let's listen. Great.
All right.
Forgive it.
out of shape, Facebook looking damn twerk fest, peach out the window, slipping around, living.
Thank you.
Rob for Pedro Show Last Music for this edition. Yes, a little official, but still blowing planes. Last chunk of music was Scrape doing Forgiven. Then we had SWRM, Horseheads, / Panic Pale, an excerpt. Just did some gigs with Joe Biza and Damon on the bass. God, who's the drummer, man? Can't remember right now. Sorry. Primary Mystical Experience after that was Sunset Beach. And then M. Mountain, offensive brother Phil, with the To the Nines version of The Beat Goes On, But It's Getting Heavy. Finally, Heavy for the Vintage. That's a good prog name. Attention is good attention, I guess. Enlighten us, Michael.
That's my solo project. That's just me. I'm just like laying down loops and then just letting them happen. I just start like a little synth loop, loop it, then lay down some bass, loop it, lay down some drums, loop it, and then eventually maybe sing a little bit.
So it's Man Alone.
Man Alone.
Yeah, sometimes you got to be in that mode.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, you know, you don't have to split the gig pays so many ways.
Got no help with the schlep, though.
Yeah, that's true. I gotta load my own stuff in, too. So, that's no fun.
I mean, you enlighten this, your journey with bass, but now you've moved on to synth. Is there bass on this too, or is it just synthesis? When did you get into synthesizing?
I think that's synth bass. Yeah, I didn't. That's just all synth.
Yeah, but when did you get into this?
I started, I started out on bass, and then just through, and then I started messing around a little bit on guitar, and then started messing around a little bit on synth. And I guess I've been doing synth a little bit more past like few years, maybe with like 5 years or so.
And then you're also saying loops, so you're involved with recording, obviously.
Yeah. You just, like you get the loop pedal, you get a riff going, and then you hit the loop, and then it just starts repeating, and then that way you can just do it all live.
Yeah, Man Alone.
Yeah, Man Alone.
Yeah. So I gotta say that I'm a member of your label because of this project called Spirit of Hamlet.
I heard, and I heard y'all are working on a second record, maybe
round two. No, for sure. They just sent it to me though.
You heard them?
Well, this is the way we did it, right? The way we did round one. It's just drums.
Yeah.
So I'm the chapter two of round two. So all we got here, it's kind of a Scotty Irvin directed project because he's the first go.
Yeah, yep. And you're doing it the same way this time, right?
Yeah, because I think drummers have been given a lot. You said you had some, you got a drum set. Did you ever jump on those drums when you put it in the garage when you were a boy?
Yeah, I know enough to keep a rhythm.
Okay.
But that's about it.
But have you ever been fucking kind of tripped out on how some musician people treat drummers like they ain't music people?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Man, I mean, a good drummer is the backbone. I mean,
especially about music.
I've been in a band with a shitty drummer, and it makes the whole project sound like crap.
Especially if it's rhythm music, right? Fucking denial about it.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake Minutemen made was putting Georgie in the back. The last 20 years, I've had all my drummers at the front of the stage, and that's the way, I'm trying to make up on that. But we just didn't know. We thought there was, it's weird about things, right? Until you get enough confidence on your own, you're following these templates that might be so fucking out of date. Anyway, the going concern right now is Scrape for you, and we're going to try to get you a good Spirit of Hamlet round two, man. I feel good about it. I just got the stuff. What Scotty brought me, what I do is I just pretend he's actually in the fucking pad with me here, and I just start playing to the sounds like he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's all. I'm super excited to hear that.
Okay, and I'm going to wish you the best of luck. And when you get some more Scrape, are you planning on an album?
Yeah, hopefully.
When that album comes out, here's the invite. Can you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, great.
Great.
Thank you so much. And good luck. Don't break your neck, but break the leg.
All right.
Michael, thanks so much for being on the show. People, August 9, 2023, edition of Pedro Shakir, your powder dry.